All right, folks, welcome into another brand new edition of the 901 Soccer Podcast here on Bluff City Media. I'm your host, Lawrence Docker. You can find me on Twitter at LDoc93. You can find the 901 Soccer Podcast on Twitter at 901 Soccer Pod. You can find us on Facebook as well. Just search 901 Soccer and we will pop right up. You can find Bluff City Media on Twitter at @BluffCity_media. And if you haven't already subscribed to Bluff City Media, I highly recommend that you do, not just for our awesome soccer coverage of both Memphis 901 FC and the Memphis Americans, and maybe a little bit down the road, perhaps U of M women's and men's soccer as well, but we'll wait till that part of the calendar rolls around. But also a lot of other good stuff going on here with Bluff City Media. You've got all sorts of Grizzlies coverage. You got all sorts of Tiger basketball coverage. Right now, you've got Memphis Showboats coverage. You've got Memphis Redbirds coverage. Once we get into the fall, you're going to have Memphis Tiger football coverage. There's a lot going on here at Bluff City Media, and if you're not subscribed, you are missing out because there's a lot of good, cool stuff going on. Also, if there is anybody out there in listener land that would like to sponsor anything we do here at Bluff City Media, you are more than welcome to reach out to any of us on any of our social platforms. We'll be more than happy to entertain your offers. Unless you're an absolute awful person, I cannot imagine a scenario where we would not be happy to pimp out whatever it is that you're selling. So at the end of the day, if you feel like you need to expand your marketing reach, we'd be more than happy to have you. So just reach out and we'll talk turkey. So just a quick little rundown of what we got going for you here on the 901 Soccer Podcast tonight. 901 FC gets a 1-1 home draw with Louisville City. We'll give you my thoughts on that. Talk a little bit about the Open Cup run that 901 FC has going right now. Got a big win earlier this week against Atlanta United. There are some Memphis Americans games, I should say, coming up Sunday at 2 p.m. and Monday at 7 p.m. down at the Lander Center in South Haven. We'll give you a little reminder as we close the show out. And then I got a couple of other things, but we will get more into that as we get into the Louisville recap. It all stems from the Louisville game. So, got to make notes, guys. So here we go. We'll start with the Open Cup. We'll discuss the Open Cup for right now. We're two games into the Open Cup. 901 FC is doing very well so far, I think. They've played two games. They've won two games. Both of which were on the road. There's Craig Unger took to Twitter earlier in the week to explain why all of the games in the Open Cup have been on the road thus far. You can follow him and go read that, or you can read what I wrote for Bluff City Media. Just go to bluffcitymedia.co, go to Teams, 901 Soccer, and go to the article called Southern Harm, talking about the draw against Birmingham Legion in the Open Cup. And I have the full tweet thread from Craig Unger in there. It just comes down to stadium availability. And bottom line, we got to get the soccer stadium. We'll touch on that more later in the show. But other than that, Open Cup. You go on the road and get a struggle win. Let's call it what it was. It was a struggle win against a lower division team in their house in the 124th minute. But in competitions like that, it's much more survive in advance, find a way to get through by hook, by crook, by whatever means necessary. Find a way to get through. And that's what 901 FC did against Knoxville in the Open Cup. They found a way. It's not, style points don't matter, especially not in a one and done survive in advance type of competition. I don't think anybody in Connecticut cares that a lot of UConn's games in the 2011 NCAA tournament when Kemba Walker put the team on his back were some of the worst basketball you could ever watch. They don't care. The title counts the same. So then the draw comes, and it's geographically based early on because obviously a lot of the lower division teams don't necessarily have the finances. You don't want Chattanooga FC having to fly to Tukwila, Washington to play the Seattle Sounders at Starfire. Okay. In a country this geographically large, that does make sense to have part of it based on geography. 901 FC is in a good position geographically because there's a lot of teams that are not too terribly far from here. but you want to balance it. You want the obviously the ideal scenario is to play everybody at home, which is what happened for 901 FC in 2019. You had the New York Red Bulls U23 team at AutoZone Park, and then you had the Hartford Athletic and Orlando City from MLS. Well, Hartford Athletic's not from MLS, but you all know that. Orlando City, both out at the stadium at Mike Rose. We have not had a home Open Cup game since then. Tournament was canceled in 20. Tournament was canceled in 21. On the road at Chattanooga last year. On the road at Knoxville, Atlanta, and Birmingham this year. That's the way the cookie has crumbled. Maybe. But at the end of the day, you had an opportunity to go on the road. You wanted to balance exposure versus ability to win. Like, you want the best opportunity to win, but you also want to get the exposure. Memphis 901 FC got lucky when they drew Atlanta United, and the fact that they both got the exposure of playing an MLS team, and they ended up advancing anyway. And if you recall, I've said it before, and I'll probably say it again, that in 2019, the matchup with Orlando was absolutely perfect because it gave you the perfect balance, especially with the game at home. It gave you the perfect balance of exposure and ability to win. You got the exposure of playing an MLS team, and you felt like you had a probably a halfway decent chance to win that game. Whereas if you had played, if I'm trying to remember who the other two teams were, probably, I think Atlanta United was one of them, but that was post Tata Martino. That was Frank DeBoer. Atlanta United, as much of a con artist as Frank DeBoer was, as it turns out, he might have been a little bit better than the guys they replaced him with, including one Steven Glass and Gonzalo Pineda and Gabriel Heinz, I think, is who Atlanta United's run through. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But that Orlando matchup in 2019 gave you the perfect balance of opportunity to win versus exposure. Now, they ended up losing, but they got a decent amount of exposure out of it, I would think. You had an overcapacity crowd at Mike Rose. You had non-soccer media people in the press box out there. You had Giannotto and Munns from the commercial appeal out there, in addition to our buddy John Varlas at the Daily Memphian, as well as yours truly. So there were, you know, people took notice. Fast forward to this year, and you get Atlanta United. Now, the good news there was that going to Atlanta United, you weren't really going to Atlanta United. You were going to Kennesaw. You weren't going to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and having to play in front of 45,000 people. You were going to Kennesaw at basically Atlanta United 2's home stadium, which Memphis 901 FC is familiar with, which Steven Glass is very familiar with, knows the lay of the land, so to speak. And they did well. They gave up an early goal, which we'll talk more about that in a minute. They gave up an early goal and then played Atlanta off the field. This is something that drives me crazy about soccer, when teams get their brains kicked in and say, I think we were the better team on the night. You lost 5-0. You were not the better team on the night. Shut up. No, you were not. 901 FC was the much better team on the night. They forced probably a half dozen quality saves out of Atlanta's goalkeeper, and they kept knocking and they kept knocking. And eventually, if you buy enough tickets, hopefully you win the raffle. And 901 FC bought enough tickets and they got a penalty, and Philip Goodrum won the raffle and got his first goal of the season. How important was that? That's a 20-goal scorer from last year. That's a guy that they really need to get going. More on that in a minute. And they were able to find a way by hook, by crook. They got away. They found a way. They got it done. They got to extra time. And that's one of those scenarios where you're so close as a team, as Atlanta United was in that scenario. You were so close to finishing it out. You're so close. You're so close. You're so close that when you give up that game tying goal, it's you hit the button. You're like, all right, we're done. No more. We're broken. And, I mean, we'll see what happens with Atlanta United the rest of the way. I know today they lost to Nashville. You got to wonder if that's the sort of thing that just kind of breaks the team's will. You see it happen in a lot of sports a lot of times. Granted, it's very early in the MLS season, so we don't know if any effect that will have. But in the short term, it broke them in that game, and Knight Pickering came in and scored very quickly after the restart into overtime. So 901 FC advances in the Open Cup. They get Birmingham Legion. on the road. That's on May the 10th, I believe. That's either a Tuesday or a Wednesday, one of the two. And I really wanted Nashville because I really wanted to go. I don't know that I want to drive to and from Birmingham on a weeknight. I'd be willing to do it for Nashville since, A, I've been to the stadium, having gotten a credential, one of these, to cover the U.S. women's team at the Sheba Leaves Cup this past February. So I'm familiar with that stadium. I know how to get there. And it's an MLS team. I'm a little bit more inclined to travel on a weeknight to cover 901FC against an MLS team as opposed to a team that they already play somewhere between 2 and 4 times every year. That's just my thinking. I haven't for sure ruled it out, but I am not feeling confident. The odds of me going to that are not high. That's where we are. To and from Birmingham on a Tuesday night. I have a full-time job, guys, on top of all of this. So that's where we are. If you want to go, don't, just because I'm probably not going doesn't mean that you can't go. If you feel like going, absolutely go. Fly the flag for 901FC on the road in Birmingham. That's a rivalry game in a cup competition. I think it'd be pretty awesome to make some noise in that regard. So that, fast forward to tonight, to tonight's game against Louisville City. 901FC has one league win, but two Open Cup wins. But if you look at it, that's 5 matches unbeaten across all competitions. 2 Open Cup wins, the win, probably the best they've looked all season in that win at Rio Grande Valley last weekend, 3-0. And then there, in between there, you had a draw on the road at Miami, and then you had a home draw against Las Vegas Lights that finished 2-2. And that game, your boy here got very frustrated. Was not the only one, I'm sure, that got very frustrated. But, you know, when you're told, all right, 9:30, all right, 9:45, all right, 10, all right, 10:15, and then you get asked to not put the restart times out, and then it gets to be about 11:30, and I'm tired and cranky, and I feel like going home. And then you get home, and it's midnight, and the game still hasn't restarted, and you wake up the next morning and realize they didn't restart the game until 1:30 in the morning. That's when it dawns on you that you made the right decision to not stay for an additional 4.5 hours to watch them play 11 minutes of a game to finish 2-2, which is exactly what the score was when the weather delay hit. So I'm not sorry that I left at 11:30. I had visions of being the only media member. The Bluff City media was going to be there from start till the bitter end to give you, the listener. And no, sorry, guys. I was not staying there till 2 in the morning. That wasn't happening. I made an executive decision, and that's an executive decision that I can and will continue to live with and sleep soundly at night because of. But this was the first home game since then, and 901FC comes in riding a 5-match unbeaten streak across all competitions. And that's something that I asked Coach Glass after the game, and you know, he elaborated on that, and he said, look, you know, you don't want right now the cup competition to become a distraction, but you know, you got to find a way to use momentum created in that competition and channel it into your regular season play, because the ultimate goal is to win the league title. And I don't begrudge them that at all. I think that should be the ultimate goal. Now, if you find a way to win the Open Cup, that would be incredible, because that qualifies, if I'm not mistaken, that still qualifies you for the CONCACAF Champions League, which winning the CONCACAF Champions League gets you to the Club World Cup. So, I have on more than one occasion, usually when the CONCACAF Champions League is going on, allowed myself to dream that there is still an actual legitimate way, a real pathway for 901FC to end up both in the Champions League and perhaps the Club World Cup. Now, we all know that will never happen. They won't ever end up with Club World Cup, but there's a better than a snowball's chance in hell that they might end up in the CONCACAF Champions League. The Sacramento Republic just last year nearly went. They went all the way to the Open Cup final and took Orlando City into like the 85th minute scoreless. So it's unlikely, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could win the Open Cup. And we'll stop there. We'll stop with the absurd notion of Club World Cup and Champions League titles. Yeah, I mean, we've had one MLS team win CONCACAF Champions League. I don't I don't think 901 FC would do too well having to go down to Club America at Azteca on a Tuesday night. But, you know, it's fun to dream about such things every so often. But as, you know, I'm sure you've seen me tweet the gif of Albus Dumbledore from Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. It does not do well to dwell on dreams and forget to live. But 901 FC comes in against Louisville, 5-game unbeaten streak. I know I've said that like 4 times. It's late. I'm tired. Comes into the game. Louisville, of course, they're Louisville. I don't know what else to say. They're an elite team in this league and have been since day one. I don't think they have ever not gone to the Eastern Conference Finals. And were it not for an Aaron Malloy missed penalty against Tampa last year, 901 FC could very well have beaten them in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Unfortunately, that was not to happen. Ultimately, I'm just happy that we beat those scumbags from Detroit. That's what I'm happy about. And they can cry and complain and drop F-bombs and think they're super cool and edgy when they're really just idiots. But, and then just overall bad people. Anyway, Louisville comes into town. They are out of the Open Cup. They lost to Cincinnati. That's something of a rivalry game. But their form in league play was not all that bad. I have it right here. They had 2 wins and a draw coming into the game tonight in their last 3. They had 2 losses prior to that, but they're in 3rd place in the East, which every time you look up, you kind of expect Louisville to be at or near the top of the Eastern Conference standings because that's just what they do. I mean, everything that organization does, everything they touch turns to gold. On the NWSL side, they got a lot of problems over there, and it takes a less occupied mind than mine to delve into all of the ridiculousness that they had going on with the racing Louisville. But Louisville City is the gold standard of the USL. Craig Unger himself has said so when I interviewed him for a piece I was writing for World Soccer Talk about the potential for a soccer stadium last year. And if you read my preview of this game for Bluff City Media, which you still can, it's not going anywhere. It might not do you any good to read it now because, I mean, the game's already over. But if you haven't read it, I would still encourage you to go do so. But these teams, it takes more than geography and history between your school, your town's basketball programs to make a rivalry. And 901 FC, for the first 3 or 4 years of this rivalry, constantly just got their heads kicked in. Excuse me. And that was frustrating. That was really frustrating. And not just lose in heartbreaking fashion or, you know, you got handled, you got worked. Your first 3 trips to Lynn Stadium in Louisville were like a 4-0 loss, a 3-1 loss, and a 3-0 loss. That's rough. That's not, and there's no two ways about it. But then you beat them here in 2021. You beat them there last year, which was a crazy last-minute winner that saw 3 players get sent off after the 95th minute, which was nuts. I don't think even I've ever done that as a referee, which we'll talk more about that later. We're going to talk about a lot later, believe me. So the game starts off, and I guess this is a good point. This is a good time to bring that up, where 901 FC just cannot stop giving up goals early in games. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. But here's the stats. This was something when they gave up another early goal, like they did tonight. I was sitting there chatting in the press box. It's like, that's got to be 5 or 6 games where that's happened. So I did the research. I looked at the numbers. Across all competitions this year, Memphis 901 FC has played 8 games. That's 8. Martin Van Buren, like 8. The Van Buren boys, that's 8 games. In 4 of those 8 games, 901 FC has given up a goal in the first 10 minutes of the game. 4 out of 8 games. Basically, every other game, 901 FC gives up a goal in the first 10 minutes. If you want to expand that to the first 15 minutes, so tack 5 more minutes on, 901 FC has given up a goal in 6 of their 8 games in the first 15 minutes. In 6 of 8 games, they give up a goal in the first 15 minutes. That is not a recipe for success. I don't care how well you play. Once you get your head screwed on straight and you decide you want to start playing soccer, That's not a winning recipe. That is a recipe for disaster. I promise you. I may not know the tactics and the X's and O's and all of that, but I don't think it takes too much of a soccer genius to go, you know, maybe we don't want to keep giving up goals right at the start of games. And the players and the coaches have all said that's a point of emphasis of starting well. That's a point of emphasis. Well, I think you need to figure out a new way to emphasize that, because whatever you're doing ain't working. Against Loudon, season opener against Loudon, goal in the 8th minute, goal in the 11th minute. The very next week against Pittsburgh, goal in the 5th minute. The next week was supposed to be at Oakland, but Oakland pulled a fast one and forgot to tell 901 FC until the day of the game that, oh yeah, we just put our turf down yesterday. My bad. So no game in Oakland. The next week at Miami, goal in the 13th minute. The next week at home against Vegas, goal in the 15th minute. On the road at Atlanta in the Open Cup, goal in the 3rd minute. Tonight against Louisville, goal in the 9th minute. This is, like, I'm not making this up, guys. This is not Crazy Lawrence talking and making things up. No, this is real. I've got it right here. This is real stuff, and it's a real problem. And I feel like part of it is there's got to be some, at least one or two of these could have been prevented by having your captain healthy. This is not to absolve everybody of some sort of blame, but not having your captain, you know, that's going to cause some problems. But at the same time, the flip side of that coin is we're 8 games in now. You've known he's not going to be here for a while, which, by the way, I've been told more than once that in those first couple of games that, oh, Leston's going to be back after, you know, in the next game or two, next week or two. And that was on March 11th and March 18th. And here we are on April the 29th. With no word other than just in the injury report right here, Leston Paul out groin. So who knows what's going on there, but having your captain would certainly help. But also, once you realize that he hasn't been there, and once you're used to, you know, 8 or 10 games into the season, that's something that you're kind of used to and should know how to handle by now. I mean, Aaron Malloy's been around the team for a while. He's been the captain in Leston Paul's absence. Somebody's got to figure something out, because this ain't working. One more time for those of you not listening. Through 8 games across 2 different competitions, 901 FC has conceded in the first 10 minutes in 4 of those 8 games. They have conceded in the first 15 minutes in 6 of those 8 games. And in those 6 games, they've given up a combined 7 goals in the first 15 minutes. That's bad. That's not good. That's not good. But anyway, so you get into the Louisville game, you give up a goal early on. It's been happening. That's a trend. I think at this point that might, I mean, it's a small sample size. It's only 8 games, but at some point you might just have to realize that's just what they are. I hope that's not what they are, but you know, if it keeps happening, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 6 out of 8 times, shame on everybody. So anyway, it's just frustrating, because once they figure out that they are actually there to play a soccer game, they start playing pretty well. They get settled in and they start controlling the ball. They move it around. They force saves. They get shots. They create chances. The defense settles down. They're not given, you know, they're not losing their man nearly as much. So it's very frustrating that keeps happening, because they do play better once they give up that goal. I don't know why they can't just play better from the start. And I'm sure if they knew they could play better from the start, they would. That's not to suggest that that's some sort of game plan where they're just like, let's just roll out there and see what happens. No, I don't think that's the case. As much as we like to, in the sports world, we like to pretend that that is the case, it's really not. These guys are pros. They want to go out there and win. They want to go out and compete. They don't want to give up those goals. I know that. We all know that. It gets frustrating, though. But moving on, they play better and they finally got a goal. They got a goal, and it was, I believe it was Luis Fernando that took it. Once you got to the second half, they were the better team. Laurent Kissidou made a great run. And his cross went in and hit about six different people and took about seven different deflections before it finally hit Fernando, and he shot it, and it deflected off two defenders and into the roof of the net and into the corner of the net. That was an actual like pinball machine going on in there for a minute, and it was 1-1. And then, all right, look, I've had half a dozen people or more, both on Facebook and Twitter, yell at me about this as if I had something to do with it, like it was my fault. The goal that wasn't for Philip Goodrum, right? So based on the screenshot that I was sent, I mean, in real time, I didn't really know exactly what was going on. I saw the flag go up fairly early on, at which point, you know, once everybody kind of has that, players kind of have that sixth sense, right? Like the attacker will notice that the defender has looked and has slowed down and stopped. And so the attacker, okay, that must mean the flag is up. Let me look. Okay, the flag's up. Whistle blows. There we go. That didn't happen tonight for whatever reason, which I think is part of what contributed to the angst and the confusion, is there was no, like, Philip Goodrum didn't stop, nor should he, especially considering that he doesn't have a Golden League play just quite yet. But you looked and in real time, and the way it was described to me, I happened to be looking at my laptop and looked up just as the flag was going up. I didn't get to see a whole lot of the buildup to it, but it looked like Luis Fernando was in the offside position. And that's what I had somebody come in and said, yeah, look, Fernando was off by about that much. Okay, cool. Don't think anything of it. And then you happen to notice that one of the players who's warming up behind the bench comes and runs out and is yelling at the assistant referee right on the touchline. That's a problem. That was the only caution of the game, I might add. You don't get to run out from the technical area and dog cuss the AR. You just don't get to do that. I don't care how mad you are. Look, here's what I'll say. Maybe based on a screenshot that I was sent, it looks like a boo-boo. It looks like a boo-boo to me. Now, I am not the one assessing the referee crew. This is a screenshot of a wonky camera angle that somebody sent me that I looked at on my phone. I don't have big, you know, no VAR, no none of that, which that's a different topic for a different day. But I do find it slightly disingenuous that everybody wants to be mad about an offside flag taking away a goal that might or might not have been an correct offside decision. And yet, nobody, not one player, not one coach, not one fan, is willing to discuss the goal line clearance by Reese Buckmaster, I want to say, that looked like it might have been in the goal. Nobody wants to talk about that one. Louisville probably should have had a goal there. 901 FC probably should have had a goal there on their offside flag. So I find it slightly disingenuous. And I always love these. I find it slightly disingenuous that when you benefit from the potential of a referee error, oh, no, that's just a good defensive play. And that's totally the right call. But when a referee's call goes against you, no, the referee should. I saw three separate refs cheated us tweets. Guys, let me tell you, the refs do not cheat you. Sorry, that doesn't happen. This is not Italy. This is not Italy. Okay, this isn't Italy. This isn't the 2002 World Cup. This is not, you know. Real time, they looked okay. Not real time, we can have a discussion. But if you're going to complain about a call that didn't go your way, I would like to, on the flip side of that, at least have you acknowledge that you benefited from a call that did go your way that might or might not have, should have gone that way. I totally butchered how I just said that, and I'm very aware of that, and I do apologize. I don't know, like people yell at me and just like want me to just throw the referees under the bus, and I'm not going to do that unless it's just absolutely horrendously 2010 USA Slovenia taking away the game-winning goal from Maurice Adu level of bad. I'm not going to do that. So if you're going to come at me, that's fine. And I'll see you out at Micros, and I'd be happy to send you to the parking lot. But I do find it either intentionally or unintentionally dishonest and disingenuous to ignore when potential missed calls go your way, but then when they don't, be like, oh, it cost us the game. As if there was nothing that Memphis 901 FC could have done better at any point throughout the game, right? This is my favorite. There's a very old adage. If it was close enough for the referees to take the game away from you, you didn't try hard enough. The refs, oh, this one call by the referees totally cost us the game. Did the referees make you concede in the eighth minute of the game? No. Any of the chance where Laurent Kissidou is inside the 18 and has three attackers at the penalty spot and then for no reason at all decides to dribble all the way back to midfield before putting the ball back in. Did the referees make Laurent Kissidou do that? I don't think so. At some point, you have to do better. This is not to absolve all referee crews ever of all blame. No. It's not, okay? But, you know, at some point, there has to be some sort of admission that you made mistakes and you didn't do things that you could have and probably should have done. And had you done them, you might not have been in a position where you needed a referee's call to go your way, right? That's just my thought. And yes, I've been a referee for 17 years. And yes, I know a lot of referees. So yes, I'm going to defend them when they deserve it. As far as the offside call, like I said, based on the angle that I was given after the fact, looks like it probably should have been onside. But let's not pretend that the whole game hinged on that one call. Let's not pretend that Memphis 901 FC played a perfect game up to that point and could have done nothing else on the night. And that was the only chance they had. Let's not play that game, guys. As I like to try to remind people, one of my favorite quotes from Spencer Hall is blaming the refs is for gigantic honking losers and always has been. And if you don't like that take, well, too damn bad, because that's my take. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Honestly, though, at the end of the day, neither team played particularly well. Neither team really deserved to win that game. It wasn't a very good game. There wasn't a lot going on. It wasn't particularly entertaining. There was only one card in the game, which, you know, when you decide you want to be an idiot and run around from behind the bench to go yell at the AR, yeah, that's probably deserved. But I said it in the post-game, like the immediate post-game tweet and the immediate post-game Facebook post. The draw felt about right. It didn't. Neither team lit the world on fire. Neither team absolutely stunk up the joint. Excuse me. So a draw and shared points, I mean, that's about fine. Would I have preferred the win? Well, yeah, duh. Would Louisville have preferred the win? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, that's not what happened. We got a draw. We move on down the road. 901 FC extends their unbeaten run to 6 games. And one thing I do want to touch on is the attendance. The attendance tonight, I've got it written down here somewhere. Where did I write it down? I know I did. Oh, it's down here. Okay. The attendance for the game tonight, 3,644. So through 4 games, the Loudoun season opener drew 4,001. The second game against Pittsburgh drew 3,587. The third game against Las Vegas drew 3,734. And then tonight drew 3,644. That is a total attendance of 14,966 divided by 4 gives you 3,742. I think that is below what we had last year. You can go back and listen to the audio only version of the 901 Soccer Podcast from probably about this same time last year, which was the attendance is falling off a cliff. How do we fix it? And that was when it was $4,000 a game and not $3,700 a game. And there were three games last year where they drew $6,000, two playoff games and the Atlanta United 2 game. I'll give the organization credit. They have been making more of an effort to be more visible in the area rather than just relying solely on Facebook and Twitter to get people to show up at games. They have, they had, I believe, a pregame party somewhere at Ghost River on Beale Street today, I think. And they've showed up. Lucas Turchi showed up at Snowden Grove the night before the season opener. They have gone out to the park in Atoka. I've had one listener send that information to me that they have showed up on multiple occasions out up in Atoka, which is a hike, taking pictures with kids, handing stuff out, that sort of thing, which is good. I mean, that's something that every organization should do. And so if I'm going to rip them when they don't do that, I guess I need to commend them when they do it. And they have been doing that. So I'm commending them for it. Maybe we'll have to do a separate show on this. And I have an opinion that's not going to be very popular about Memphis as a sports town as a whole, but we're going to save that for later. We'll root for radio, bury the lead. But the point I'm making with the attendance here for tonight is it did look, I will say, I will always give 901FC credit because you look around soccer leagues, especially in this country, not so much in the USL, mainly in MLS, where they'll announce, oh yeah, sell out 27,000 people. And you go, I see about 7,000 people. 901FC's announced attendance usually is fairly closely resembles, at least to my eyes, what they're announcing. Like the number of people in the seats usually looks pretty close to what they're saying, what the announced attendance is. But the point I'm trying to make here is the organization has played all of their Open Cup games on the road, and as a result, allows you to continue to bang the drum harder and louder for we really need our own stadium so that we can play these Open Cup games at home. And I can't argue with that. We need the stadium. We're aware of what the limitations of soccer on a baseball field are. Plus, who doesn't want a shiny, awesome new stadium? But I think there's a couple of things that I am personally worried about might sink the possibility of getting the soccer stadium. One of them, 901FC has absolutely no control over, and that's going to be how much of the money do the Grizzlies want, because the Grizzlies are going to get however much of it they want. Let's not pretend that there's not a pecking order here, people. And then the Tiger Football Stadium is going to take whatever is left over that the Grizzlies don't want, assuming they don't take the whole kit and caboodle for themselves. 37-42 is the average so far this year, and that might pick up as we go into the summer. It usually does. But at some point, the powers that be, the people that are going to be in charge of writing the checks, are going to look, you want $65 million for an 8,000 to 10,000 seat soccer stadium when you're averaging 3,742 people a game. Why are we going to write you a check for $65 million for an 8,000 seat stadium that you won't even fill halfway? That is my concern. Whether those are discussions that are actually happening or not, whether anybody at City Hall or on Capitol Hill in Nashville has any idea what 901FC draws attendance-wise, I have no idea. They're more than welcome to reach out to me, and I can give them. I like sharing facts and analysis and data points. But you know, the numbers are what the numbers are. And bear in mind, please do not come at me with the tried and true Memphis excuse of, oh, the ticket scanners weren't working. There is not a single team, stadium, school, city, organization, club, park and rec league. There is no one on this planet who uses turnstile attendance as opposed to tickets sold / distributed. Nobody ever works to cover up good news. If you have sold 27,000 tickets and only 10 of those come back through the gate, you're announcing that you sold 27,000 tickets because it's a better look for you. So do not come to me with, oh, the ticket scanners weren't working, because that's just insulting my intelligence. And quite frankly, it's insulting your intelligence. So they got to figure out. We'll do a separate show on it probably over the summer if it drops any lower. And I will have I've got it saved on a flash drive, which I unfortunately do not have with me. The year by year and total number of games played at AutoZone Park where attendance figures were available. That excludes most of 2020, save for the opener against Indy 11. But you know, it's at some point we're gonna have to find a way. It's on the team. It's on the media, that includes myself, and it's on you, the fans. Now, granted, if you're watching this show, you're probably one of those fans that's been to most of the games. I'm aware of that. But we all need to come together and figure out how in the blue hell to get thousands more people to AutoZone Park. It has to happen. Because, as Craig Unger said, we need a soccer stadium. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with him on that. We need a soccer stadium, and we need to figure out how to get people to fill it up. But that is, I think, all I have for you tonight. So, we'll call it a wrap. Before we get out of here, I do want to remind everybody that Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. and Monday night at 7 p.m., you have the Memphis Americans playing their final two home games of the year against, I believe, the Fayetteville Fury. Excuse me. 2 p.m. on Sunday, 7 p.m. on Monday. If you can't make it to one, try to make it to the other. If you can't make it to either of them, follow the 901 Soccer Podcast. I'll be there. I'll be live tweeting them. If you don't want to do that, there's a YouTube stream. Jeff Brightwell and Tim Van Horn will more than likely have the commentary for that. So we will try to probably Monday night do like a recap show for just kind of recapping that season for the Americans and see. There's a rumor floating around that the Americans may be hosting the entirety of the NISL playoffs at the Lander Center, but we'll see. There's no one to confirm that just quite yet. That league is not a very high dollar operation. Whatever you want to say about Memphis 901 FC, at least they give us cool fancy notes and stuff like this. We get team sheets, we get rosters, you know, we get all this stuff. The Americans, you don't get none of that. You're lucky if you know you walk in and you know which team's playing first. I quit trying to figure out what goes on there a very long time ago. I show up, I tell you what happens as it's happening, and I come home. That's what I do with the Americans until they want to become a serious operation. But anyway, so that's what I got. Just because they're not a serious operation doesn't mean you shouldn't go and have a good time. I highly recommend that you do. So that is going to wrap it up here for us tonight on the 901 Soccer Podcast. Thanks to everybody for tuning in, for listening. You can find me on Twitter. That's Lawrence Dockery at LDoc93. You can find the 901 Soccer Podcast on Twitter at 901 Soccer Pod. Find the 901 Soccer Podcast on Facebook. It's 901 Soccer. We'll pop right up. Bluff City Media on Twitter, at BluffCity_media. Go to the website, BluffCityMedia.co. Subscribe today, otherwise you're missing out. Your yearly subscription is not any more expensive than a weekly cup of coffee. Trust me. Get your Grizzlies coverage. Obviously, all your local soccer coverage. We got you on lockdown. Don't worry about that. But we also got Grizzlies, Tiger football, Tiger basketball, men's and women's. We got Showboats, we got Redbirds, we got Tiger football coming in the fall. We got it. I mean, if it's Memphis sport, we got it. And it's the best place. And it's talked about by people who know what they're talking about too. This isn't you know, people that only focus on one sport pretending that they have to care about another sport and talking out of their rear ends and sounding foolish. This is not what's going on at Bluff City Media. We got smart, hardworking, intelligent people that know what they're doing. So we give you the best, and we ask that you give us your best as well. But that'll do it for tonight, and hopefully we will see you sometime soon, perhaps in the next day or two at an Americans game.